Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. We take a few moments for silent reflection and confession. We pray, God, at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Brothers and sisters, like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day. Forgiving your sins for the sake of Jesus Christ, leading you from death to life. Amen. In celebration of that, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated.
See? Wow. That goes a long way, doesn't it? That little bit goes a long way to helping those that might not have food. Do you know what else needs food in this world besides us?
God.
Well, God does need some food every once in a while. Animals need food. Yeah. Any of you gardeners? No? Plants need food. Yeah, absolutely. What happens if you don't feed your plant? Have you ever tried to plant?
They do.
They do wither and die. If you've ever seen my plants, they wither and die, because I forget to water them. It's a good thing the only one we have is a cactus. So, doesn't need much food. But plants need water. Plants need the sun. Plants need food too. In a little bit, we're gonna hear the gospel lesson for today, and there's a parable about a fig tree that isn't producing any fruit. Maybe because it's not getting the right food. And it's about to get cut down, but the gardener says, just give me a chance. He's gonna dig around, and he's going to put enough around it. Really, he's going to put some manure around that tree. He's going to get something that gives it the nutrients to give it a chance to bear fruit. And maybe it'll bear fruit. Have you ever seen a fruit tree? Apple trees, maybe? Yeah, it's pretty cool when they produce fruit, isn't it? And you can grab and it shares. That's pretty neat. All the different ways that food is had. Food for the trees and the plants and food for you. And God is working with you too, making sure you get the food you need. You're getting some of that food you need spiritually today through what you've helped with, through the children's message, through the sermon, through the singing, so many different ways, through Promised Land. You get fed too. Hopefully you're getting fed at home too. There's many ways that we're fed. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for feeding us what we need. Use us as you need. In your name we pray.
First reading is from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Behold your power and your glory. For your steadfast love is better than life itself. My lips shall give you praise. So will I bless you as long as I live, and lift up my hands in your name. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My spirit is content as with the richest of foods, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my helper, and under the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My whole being clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. O God, eagerly I seek you, my soul thirsts for you.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as an example for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they are written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Word of God, word
of God. The gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Those 13 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you all will perish just as they did. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's the parable of the fig tree. You kind of got an idea of what's going on. You've heard a couple times what the story's about, what's in the story. Now I want to give you an opportunity to talk to one another for a minute. Yeah, you can laugh nervously about that, but it's happening. I want you to talk to your neighbor or somebody close to you and answer this question. Have you ever given up on something? Just talk about a time, more than yes or no, just when's a time you've given up on something? Good to hear you talking to one another. Hopefully you can think of a story from your own life, maybe, that you did give up on something. I'm sure there's something in your life that you could think of, because we've all probably given up on something. I know I've probably given up on, you name the Minnesota sports teams, more than once. But I come back. I keep coming back every year. Don't know why. But I've given up. Probably gave up on aspirations of being a radio DJ. There was never a job. Gave up on that. And yet here we are today, on the radio. Yeah. I give up other things before in my life. I can think of them. I've given up on planting so many times. Pulled the plant out, said, "I don't want anything to do with this." And it comes back because I forget that there's a deeper root to it. I've given up. And when you think about giving up, it makes you wonder who exactly is who in this parable. And I don't have the 100% answer of who's who, because you can see this parable in different ways. But I'm going to lead you down a certain path today. Are we the tree at times in life? Are we that tree? Are we the tree that just refuses to give any kind of good fruit? Are we the tree that needs that second chance, just needs to be fed? But then who is the one, the owner, giving up? Who's the one tossing their hands into the air? Could it be God? Would God be capable of just giving up? Is that possible? Because we don't always have good fruit. We aren't often in control. And we don't know when in our lives we're ultimately going to be cut down. And if we are cut down early, is it because of the sins we've made? The fact that there's nothing good that we can do in this world? Makes us ask, why repent? Why turn around when we don't know what's next? What's next is just not known. So why should we change? Why should we try to be those that can bear the fruit? We may as well be on that chopping block. And I know there's most days, a lot of days, I should say, won't say most days, that I deserve to be on that chopping block. Because there just doesn't seem to be the fruit. I'd maybe give up on me too some days. And yet, there's that gardener. The gardener that doesn't let us give up, or even the owner. Christ comes into the world calling once again for repentance. And it's a theme we've heard throughout our journey through Luke from the very beginning as we were getting ready for Christmas. John the Baptist standing there and shouting out, prepare the way of the Lord, repent, turn around, repent. And here Christ is towards the middle again saying, repent, there's something else. Repent, as you may well know, does mean to turn around, to turn. But maybe let's think of this not so much as a moral of turning around, but a different kind of turning in our own life. To look beyond the usual things we think about, like, I swear way too much in life, I'm going to turn around and never swear again. I'm addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to porn, whatever it is in your life, I'm going to turn around and never do it again. I'm addicted. Turn back to God. We think about that. But maybe beyond the moral things of our life, maybe it's a turn back to the life God made specifically for you. Because how often does the repentance in our own life look like this when you say, yep, I'm doing all right, I've made a mistake, I'm coming back. Oh, but that looks too good to be true, so I'm going to come back this way. Nope. I turn back. I'm coming back. Does that sound familiar in your own lives of some things you've tried to turn from? No matter how hard we seem to try, I'll be there for my neighbor next time. I promise. I didn't have it this time, but I'll be there next time. I'm going to turn back, and then the next time maybe comes. It's often like that in our lives. And when we think about it as that if I just can't continue coming this direction, if I fail to keep going this direction forever, you might as well cut me down, because there's no hope for me. Nothing. Put me on the chopping block. It can feel like law pulling you down. But that is the only way to do it ourselves. We recognize this sometimes. But we need to be aware of this too in order to let Christ come into our lives to change it. So is there hope? Amongst all of this, back and forth, our mistakes and our coming backs? Yes, there is in the gospel. There's that gardener that we talked about who doesn't give up. That gardener perhaps is Jesus Christ, the one that says, don't give up on them. Don't. I will come in. I will turn the soil up. I will put the poop down. I will make it ready. Give it another try. God sent his only son in to take it all. To take it all onto that cross there. All those moments where we do turn and then we find ourselves quickly turning the other way again. And instead of just chopping us down, fills us with grace and love. Because repentance is not a one-time thing. We might not get it right. We may not ever get it perfect, no matter how many times we hear it. But we can change. Perhaps not out of obligation, but out of gratitude for what Christ has done for us. From the promises of Jesus Christ, for everything he has done for us by sending his own son, out of gratitude, we want to keep going back and try again and again, even though we keep falling. The blog from the ELCA this week talks about repentance as a gift. A gift to change your heart. It's not necessarily necessary to turn to earn God's love, but instead we turn as a result of God loving us. We turn and repent as we did this morning in the confession and forgiveness. We gave it all up to God and said, "This is who I am. I have fallen short in all these directions. This is who I am. Renew me. Send me back out." We repent because Christ died and the Holy Spirit is present in our life. And the final change that will occur in us, in our hearts, and in our lives, is by God's grace alone. God daily turns us. God, through baptism and our daily dying and rising through Christ, is there. Keep that hope. Keep the faith. Keep on going. Don't give up. Because when you turn, we too can be, we might have the soil planting around us that helps us. But in our turning and remembering our neighbors and all those around us that might need us even more than we can ever imagine, we might be helping in their soil so that they recognize Christ in their own lives and see him. Don't fear. Because as Isaiah says, and I'll change this one word to us, let us return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on us, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, said the Lord. So turn around. How are we going to turn around today? How are you going to turn around and go out that door? What's next in your own life? That's a challenge for this week, to figure out what's next. How can we use this amazing gift we've been given for others so that those trees, they might not seem like they can bear fruit, but we can all be given another chance as we have through Christ Jesus. That's wonderful news for today, especially for a theme that talks about Jesus growing our capacity for love this Lent. Only through Christ is this love truly known and truly possible. Amen.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation. Holy God, build up the body of Christ and cause the gifts of your Spirit to grow among us. Lead us to recognize your saving work through the spiritual practices you encourage. Hear us, O God. Water the earth with gentle rains and melting snow. Provide clean water for drinking, washing, and nourishing plants that will bear fruit for your creatures. Hear us, O God. Uphold people who speak your righteousness in the face of religious and political persecution. Receive martyrs into your everlasting peace. Hear us, O God. Provide relief for those suffering in pain. Especially we think of those among us and around us. We join together in lifting up their names. June, Rolf, Baby Jaylee, Baby Nora, Heather, Melissa, Duane, Ione, Elaine, Catherine, Tim, the family of Laura, missionaries Colin, Jenny, Josie, and Amos, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magdalenas, and the flood victims. Grant wisdom to healthcare workers who seek to diagnose ailments and bring in healing to patients. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Promote unity within your church and among the nations. Uncover those common threads in our shared humanity, and keep us from making hasty judgments about others. Hear us, O God. Knit together the communion of saints, and bind us to Christ, our head, through the diversity of gifts present in our communities. Help us to overcome our limitations and increase our understanding of ourselves and others. Hear us, O God. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Abundance. Christ, who spreads his arms in forgiveness, and Holy Spirit, who draws ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.